Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting tonight, and I just like to thank everybody for their faithfulness and coming out and just everyone chipping in to make this a a wonderful time in God, because no one has all the answers, and together, as we're knitly joined together, the Holy Spirit can speak to us, and it's just a blessing in our lives. Before I get going, I'd like to also thank those that are listening. Beholding His Glory already has over 120,000 hits this year on the website. And so I know people are listening. I'm getting emails, and I just thank you very much for all your comments and emails and your appreciation. And I'll tell Brother Ray tonight, I just so enjoy putting, these teachings together every month. It's just it's just wonderful. And so I just thank you for participating in that. Amen. Let's go ahead and get into what the Lord has for us. As we do, kind of our custom here, we go ahead and we always look at 3 points from last month that we looked at to point our spirit in the right direction and get us going. And last month, we kind of looked at dwelling places, and we looked at obedience. And we looked at dwelling places, and we're going to continue on that track tonight. There'll be more about obedience, and we're also talking about these dwelling places. And so the first point from last month that we looked at is God has set life and death before us. The Bible says that I set life and death before you, and it's an automatic arrangement. In that life and the death, God says choose life. But it's automatic in that if you don't choose life, you're automatically choosing death. It's an automatic setup. And that is the arrangement. God has set both of those, life and death, before us. And so if we choose life, then we receive life. But if we don't choose life, then we automatically, if we do not choose life, let me say that again, if we do not choose life, then we automatically choose death. Whether we're not choosing it, but if we don't choose life, we're automatically choosing it. And that is an arrangement that God has in us. And it's a tremendous truth, and a lot of Christians miss that. Amen. And the second point is God's purpose in all of His commandments is to bring us into that place of life. And that's not our life, and that's not the life that we live, but the life that God gives us through His commandments and His laws and all of the things that He brings into our life. It's not to put us under the gun or put us under pressure or any of that stuff. But God's command and purposes in our life is to bring us into His life. And that is the Zoe life. It is the life, the abundant life. John 10:10 says, "For I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." And most prosperity preachers talk about money and stuff like that. But that is not what God is talking about. The life of God has nothing to do with money. The life of God has everything to do with touching the heart and lives of people. The life of God has everything to do with laying hands on people, being used by the Spirit, and ministering life to people. That is what the life of God is all about. Amen? And the third point is God's forever situation is God in us and us in God. And that is the dwelling place. That is God forever. His situation is us and God and God in us. Ephesians 2:22 talks about us being God's eternal habitation. Heaven, according to Ephesians 2:22, is not God's eternal habitation. We are God's eternal habitation. Forever situation is God in us and us in God. As a dwelling place. Wow. I don't understand that. I don't understand why God would choose us, but God, by His Spirit, chooses us to be His tabernacle, His eternal abode, that we would be His forever eternal dwelling place. Amen. Now a little more on obedience. A part of this indwelling life is obedience. Let me say that again. That's a powerful statement right there. Part of His indwelling life is obedience. One of the reasons for which God brings us into the wilderness, into the unknown, is to learn obedience. When we are in the wilderness of Sinai, which is the fourth wilderness, And as we talked in much detail in the past about God brings us into the wilderness, into the unknown, into the uncertainty, into these dark areas that we have no understanding, so that He can bring the light to us. Well, one of the reasons for which God brings us into the wilderness and into the unknown is so that He can teach us obedience. If God cannot teach us obedience, then He cannot use us. Wow. And that's another powerful statement. If God cannot teach us to obey, if God cannot teach us to obedience, then He cannot use us. Everybody wants to be faithful in ministry and faithful in this and faithful in that. And yes, we got to be faithful in that. But the first thing that we must be faithful if God is going to use us, and that is to obedience. We must learn obedience. Amen? The first few lessons of obedience are not usually difficult. God did not immediately tell the Israelites to go up and possess the promised land. But one of the first lessons was relatively simple. Numbers 14:5 it says, "And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, at even in the wilderness of Sinai," and that's where we are now, "according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel," that they did that. Amen? Numbers 9:1, and that's our verse that we looked at, says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year." Now imagine this. This is the first month of the second year. In other words, they've only been gone from Egypt for 2 years. They've only left. They've only been gone. And we know that they wandered in the wilderness in the 40 years. But they've only been gone out of Goshen for 2 years. And after they were come out of the land of Egypt, seeing. Wow. How about that? They haven't been gone that long. And here God is leading them into the wilderness so that He could teach them obedience and all those other things that we looked at as they moved through those first three wilderness. Amen? You know, we train our children the same way. Small lessons for small children. Amen? Small lessons for small children. But as they get older, so does the lessons. Amen? Small lessons for small children. And as we get older and we mature and we start to handle some things of God, the lessons get very, very tough. Amen? He starts teaching us obedience in the small things. Things we think are not important. Things that we believe are insignificant things that God does not notice. As a new believer, we cannot handle the heavier things of God. We can't. We think we can, but we really can't. But moving in obedience in the smallest things of God will qualify us for moving in the bigger, heavier things of God. So the more we are faithful, the more we're able to move in the smaller things of God. As a child, small things for small children, big things for big children. And as we are successful in moving in obedience in the small little lessons, then God will be able to give us bigger lessons. Mm-hmm. And so people say, "Well, I'm ready to tackle this mountain and I'm ready to do that." Well, they try that and they don't, you know, achieve that because they haven't handled the small lessons first. They go out there and they go after the big lessons. The smaller the things in our life, God is closely scrutinizing us in. Things that we think that are not important. We'll step on some toes now. Those things that we think that God is not really concerned about, God is closely scrutinizing. We think God is really concerned about the big things in our lives. Do we steal, or do we lie, or do we do all of, you know, do we murder or commit adultery, all those things. But God is not too concerned about those as much as He's more concerned about our character. How we talk about one another. Do we pray for our enemies? Do we do the little small things? Are we faithful in the little small areas? Are we concerned about our words? Are we concerned about all of these things? The smaller the things in our lives, God is closely looking at them. Not the big things, but the small things. By learning to develop an understanding of the importance of obedience and the ability to recognize His voice, we can then move in a greater understanding of what obedience to God is. Wow. That was a mouthful, but that was powerful. By learning to develop an understanding of the importance of obedience, before you can be obedient to God, you've got to step back and understand why you need to be obedient to God. You just can't be obedient to God. There's a reason why. There's an understanding that God is trying to get through to you so that you can be obedient. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But it's very, very important as we're able to come to that understanding of the importance of obedience and hearing from Him, then we will have that understanding. In other words, we understand and move in greater obedience to the Lord by being obedient to the Lord. Amen? So the more we're obedient to the Lord, the more of that understanding we'll have, and the more we'll be obedient. How can we grow in the Lord if we do not do what He is teaching us to do? How can there be spiritual growth in us if we don't do what He tells us to do? You know, my teacher, John Wright Follett, always said this. He said, the secret of prayer is praying. So people want to have their prayers answered. Well, the secret of having your prayers answered is praying. Because a lot of people, they want to pray, you know, they want their prayers answered, but they're not really invested themselves into prayer. They've not really got down and got before the Lord or fasted or did whatever. They weren't broken, as Brother Darrell was talking about earlier today. I will tell you, if you want your prayers answered, the Bible says that God is with those that are of a broken heart. So if you want God to be with you, then you need to have a broken heart. That's guaranteed. God says that He will be with those that are of a broken heart. I think it's Psalm 51, you know, David talks about that He is with those that have been crushed or contrite. The word contrite there means crushed and ground to powder. I guarantee you, God is with those. Amen? All that we do for God must be done in obedience. All that we do, everything we do in God, I don't care if it's singing in the choir, teaching Sunday school, whatever, whatever, all of that, all of those things that we do for God must be done in obedience. And if we cannot hear the Lord's voice and move in obedience in the small things, not the big things, don't be so concerned about big things in God. Let me say that again. I'll say it a little louder for my machine here. Don't be so concerned about the big things in God. God is not too concerned about the big things. He's not. God is concerned about the little things. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not a big boulder that's going to trip you up. It's the little root of bitterness. The little foxes that spoil the vine, Jesus says. It's the little thing. God is more concerned about the little things in our life than He is about the big things. Amen? Amen. So if we cannot hear God's voice and move in obedience in small things, then we will not be able in the future to move in greater things. The condition to be used of God in big areas is to be obedient in small areas. Obedience in small areas alone is glorifying to God and will ensure continued service. So for all of those ministers out there and all those folks that want to do mighty exploits for God, the condition for doing those big things is first to be found faithful in the little areas, because if you're faithful in the little areas, then God will continue in service. Amen? The Passover was instituted while they were in Egypt. And once they were in the wilderness of Sinai, the Lord commanded them to keep the Passover. Now, they were already out of Egypt. And remember, the Passover meal was with the death angel and the blood on the doorpost and all that good stuff. Well, they didn't have the doorpost, and they didn't have all the stuff for the Passover. But God told them to keep it because He wanted to see if they would be obedient. In this way, they could begin to exercise obedience to the Lord in times of freedom or in times when we can exercise our free will. So God said, I want you to keep the Passover. And he wasn't really too concerned if they kept the Passover. He was concerned if they were obedient to him. When God speaks to us, he's not too concerned about what we're doing. He's not. He's more concerned, are we going to be obedient to him? That's why the little things that we do, the little things are so much more important than the big things. It's not about what we're doing. It's all about us listening to him, hearing his voice, and him telling us what to do. And when we do it, he rejoices. God rejoices over us doing the little things, probably more than rejoicing over the big things. It's just amazing. And when we do it in times of freedom, or when we exercise our free will, God even loves it the more. If we do not learn to be obedient in freedom, we will never ever be able to be obedient in trials. It is in times of no pressure. It is in times when nothing is really coming against us that we're obedient. Is when we learn to be obedient. That's when we learn to be obedient. When everything is hunky-dory and everything is moving and God tells us to do something and we go. Because if we can't do it then, when the pressure is on and when God brings something our way to get our attention for us to grow, if we haven't learned to do it when we're not under pressure, we will not have the ability in God to do it when we're under pressure. Obedience to the Lord while not under the gun is what God is after. And that comes down to just righteous living, where we just do right. So after we hear God's voice and we're just, you know, there's no pressure, there's, you know, we're just doing what God wants us to do. Does anybody here have to think to breathe? Breathing is automatic. It's spontaneous. And that's what God wants in our life when it comes to obedience. He wants us to go ahead and just breathe. Well, he wants us to go ahead and just be obedient to him. Especially when everything is good. See, when everything is good, that is when you are in a greater danger of falling. Amen? I didn't say that. Brother Paul said that. Take heed lest you fall, right? He who stands, take heed lest you fall. The possibility of us falling in sin or us falling out of what God wants us to do is greater chance of that happening when everything is going smooth. Because when things are not going smooth, when we're under the gun, when we're being pressured, man, we're on our knees, oh God help us, and you know, we're just, you know, pushing into God. But when everything is wonderful and everything is just good, I got money in the bank and everything is just going good and you know, everything is just going well, yeah, that's when God wants us to be obedient, because that's when we can really, really fall. If obedient was not learned in the wilderness, the children of Israel would have never entered the promised land. One of the main reasons why God sent the children of Israel into the wilderness and they wandered for those 40 years, the main reason was to teach them obedience so they could go and conquer the promised land. That was the main reason. And all along the way, God was teaching them this, and teaching them that, and teaching them this, and teaching them all of these things so that, you know, that they could go ahead and conquer the promised land. But if they never learned those lessons, if they never learned the things that God wanted them to learn, they would have never, ever conquered the promised land. The first relatively simple lesson in obedience soon fades into the background, into the light of more difficult situations thrust upon us as we progress in the schooling of obedience in the glory of his presence. I promise you, if you walk with the Lord long enough, and everything is wonderful and I love the Lord, everything is wonderful in me and the Lord, but if you walk long enough, suddenly his presence will be gone. And he's going to lead you into some darkness. He's going to check you out in that darkness. Wow. And there's going to be a time that you're going to walk in darkness. And there's going to be a time where God is going to be enlarging you and strengthening you. And God's going to be able to work in your character and start working things out of your heart. And, you know, start changing you and changing your mind and changing your spirit and changing all of those things. And if that doesn't happen, well, then there'll be no change in you. But be the instant the glory of His presence where there is a water plenty. It's not too difficult, is it? It's easy to glorify God in plenty. Wow. What is more difficult in obedience, in darkness or without water? Well, the children of Israel, they went to a place called Mara, and there was bad water. And Moses threw in this bush, and the Bible says that water is not they. They is people. Moses threw the bush in there, and they are the people, and they became sweet. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. What is more difficult in obedience, in darkness or without water? In a difficult terrain, we learn the most about obedience. Thus, it is necessary that God takes us over rough roads to train us. If we can learn obedience in the calm times, if we can learn obedience when things are relatively calm and going well, then we will not be moved in rough times. People that stumble and fall out of the way when temptation or a testing comes their way, it's a sign that they have not learned obedience in the quiet times. Let me say that again. People that stumble and fall out of the way when testings and trials come mean that they have not learned obedience in the quiet times. They have not heard God speak, and they have not learned obedience that will enable them to be strong and not move out of there. Amen? And the harder the times, the more obedience we learn. Amen? Oh, Lord, just take this from me. Oh, I don't want this. Oh, Lord, take this away. That shouldn't be our prayer. Our prayer should be, let me have more. Let me have. Though God slay me, yet I trust Him. If I perish, I perish. Because the harder the testing, the harder the trials, the harder the times we have, the more we will learn obedience. Proper training and obedience prepares us to obey without questioning. Holy cow. I'm glad you came tonight to hear that, because that is a mouthful. Proper training and obedience prepares us to obey without questioning. When God speaks and leads, He does not usually say why or explain the purpose. If we learn our lessons well, we will walk in His command without asking why. God is tired of hearing why from His children. When we had children and we would tell our children to do something, they would go, why? What would that do to us? What? How dare you? What do you mean? You know, God doesn't want to. You know what God wants to hear when God tells us to do something, when God is speaking to us? He wants to hear two words come out of our mouth. And when I talk about something like this with Bible school students, they got a big row here, you know. Or I always teach them, these are the two words that He wants. Yes, Lord. And this is what God is listening for. Yes, Lord. When God speaks to us, He wants to hear two words. He doesn't want to hear belly aching. He doesn't want to hear complaining. He doesn't want to hear anything, any excuses. Moses tried that. But the Lord, I stutter. And God said, well, your brother Aaron, he talks well. You know, Moses tried that, but it doesn't work. God doesn't want to hear any complaining. When God speaks, He wants to hear two words come out of our mouth in obedience, and that is, yes, Lord, and nothing else. After we learn not to ask why, the next trick we need to get out of our way is to not make stipulation. This will not work either. We must learn to follow Him without question and without stipulation and without deals. Obedience should be based upon nothing but that which God commands. Our life may depend upon it. Our obedience in God should be based upon nothing except for the only thing that God commands, because our life may depend upon it. Immediate obedience may save our physical presence or preserve us from dangerous situations. Can I get a big amen there?
Amen.
Immediate obedience. For more important reasons than our physical well-being, God wants us to learn to obey. This is why in the school of obedience, God gives us a very rough course. Again, the rougher the course we go, the harder the times we go, the more obedience we can learn. And the learning is not up to God. That's God's purpose and plan, is to teach us obedience. But the learning depends upon us. Are we willing to endure those hard times and hear from God and do what He wants us to do? Again, today I set before you life and death. Choose life. Today I set before you learning of obedience or not learning. Life and death, not learning. It's the same thing. Amen? Amen. Immediate obedience may save our physical life. Amen. This is why in the school of obedience, God gives us a rough course. The rougher the course, the better. Usually one does not know what is going on in the realm of obedience until it is completed. We often see God in the rearview mirror. We often understand and see God in retrospect. Rarely do we understand what God is really doing. We think we understand what He's doing, and you know, we can see one little vein of truth of what He's doing, and we can see one little section of what He's doing, but we can only see this, but we can't see all of this other stuff that He's working together for not only our good, but for others' good. Amen? God keeps His cards close to His chest. God doesn't always show us what He's doing. He kind of keeps it. And you know why He does that? Because He knows if He tells us everything, we will want to get involved and we'll want to help Him do what He wants to do. Or if He shows us what He wants us to do, we may not go. I don't know how many friends of mine, God has called me to go overseas. God wants me to go overseas. Okay, let's go. Well, this and that and this issue and, you know, well, okay, yeah, maybe someday. Amen. If God tells us too much, we may choose not to go. So God lures us like a fishing lure. You throw that lure out in the water and you're kind of jigging it around and bring it in, kind of lure us. And then suddenly we find ourselves in deep water over our head and it's too late. Amen. God is very, very good at that. Little did King Saul realize that failure in the test of obedience would cost him his kingdom. You can read that in 1 Samuel 15:11-28. Little did King Saul know that his disobedience cost him his kingdom. In disobedience, there is loss. Man. In disobedience, there is loss. In obedience, there is gain. In disobedience, there is loss. In obedience, there is gain. And not just for one, but for many. Not one, for many. The end result of disobedience, now listen to this, listen very closely. The end result of disobedience is always loss to others first. The end result of disobedience is always loss to others first, then ourselves. Wow. Others first, then ourselves. Romans 5:19 says, for as one man's disobedience, can you imagine that? Then that was Brother Adam. One man's disobedience. Many were made sinners. And so by the obedience of one, that being Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. So one man's disobedience, one man, Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners. Wow. So disobedience always, always affects others first. Now, I don't know about you, but that's enough to give me a pucker factor that I do not want to be disobedient to God. So, because others will suffer. Others will suffer. Wow. There's no substitute for obedience. Some folks would rather pray than obey, as they say. But there's no substitute for obedience. You cannot pray obedience in. You cannot work obedience up. You cannot give money for obedience or even make deals with God. There is no substitute for obedience. I'm reminded of the story. A lady was playing the organ. God directed her to pass out tracts, beginning with her nearest neighbor. But she was so taken up with this tearful worship and the presence of God, she ignored God's directives. The second time the Lord urged her, but still she continued to play the organ and spend time in prayer. And 2 hours later, she heard a great commotion outside. She looked and saw the nearest neighbor home had an ambulance, fire truck, and police. She later found out that the neighbor, alone at home, had committed suicide. We all have our stories, but remember, our obedience or our disobedience usually affects others more often. Boy, that's a sobering truth right there. Obedience is better than a tearful joy of basking in the presence of God or even praying. Nothing will take the place of obedience. Parting thoughts. Obedience is of great importance. It goes beyond ourselves in an ever broadening area. If we were the only one involved in our obedience, the importance would be greatly diminished. If we were the only ones involved in our obedience, then it would be greatly diminished. Consider the case with the disciples. The obedience of them, they have reached out over 2,000 years to touch our life. Wow. We never will know the extent of our obedience, the total extent of our obedience. Maybe someday in heaven we'll know that. But we usually learn the extent of our disobedience. We never really understand the big picture. We never really see the extent of just going to church every Sunday and teaching Bible school Sunday school. Never understand, you know, we just do that because God said to do that. And, you know, no one comes. There's only 5 or 6 people there. And we don't understand why we're doing that. Well, that doesn't matter. None of that matters. How many people is there and what's going on and how much money we're getting and all that stuff. All that malarkey, it don't matter. What matters is our obedience to God, even in the small things. Even in the small things. Amen? Amen. We are one grain or one wheat. We are one seed. Our obedience to God is the most important area in our walk with God. More important than speaking in tongues, more important than preaching and teaching and doing all of those things, our obedience is the most important area in our walk with God. Because if we don't do what we do in obedience, then whatever we're doing, you know, usually a lot of times God is not even involved in that. We come into God's life and obedience. We fall into the ground and die to self. John 12:24 says, unless a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die and remain alone. Isn't that amazing? We think that living is being fruitful in God. But that's not what the Bible says. To be fruitful in God, we must die. Romans 6:5 says, unless we are baptized into the death of Christ, not His life. It's not the life of Christ. Unless we are baptized into the death of Christ, there will be no resurrection life. So we are that grain of wheat, and we must fall into the ground and die. And if we can fall into that ground and die, then we will be obedient. Now there is production, which touches the lives of many. The disciples, all but John, was martyred. And how many Christians were martyred all throughout the ages? And how many Christians are being martyred now? There was there was a pastor that worked for Pastor Peter, and you guys know Pastor Peter, and he sent us a picture of him. He was beat to death, and his throat was cut. He was beat to death. I saw his body laying there on the ground. Blood, I mean, he was, you know, I mean, wow. There, wow, is a production. His death, wow, will touch lives. There will be people that will be touched, even in that life. Where does it end? It never ends. Our obedience never ends. It never ends. Wow. And this is just your obedience and no one else. Our obedience today even extends in our next life to come. Remember, this time on earth, we're passing through. We're just sojourning. We're passing through. This time on earth is so that we can qualify for our next life. And the more obedient we are in this life, and the more we learn, the more we'll be able to move and function with God in the next life. I am not sure what my obedience will affect in my life to come. I don't have that understanding. But I know if I learn those things now, then I'll be able to be successful and move with God in my next life to come. But I do know if I am not obedient today, if I am not obedient today, I will not have a life to come, nor will others. Nor will others. And the others I talk about is because of my disobedience, the people that I won't teach. The people that I won't maybe see in Macedonia, or the people in Romania or Bulgaria, if I'm not obedient today to go and do, and endure, and even suffer, you know, even small things. You know, when we went to Romania, with that one restaurant, you bit down on that one, something small, I know, oh, it's not a big deal. It was a big deal. Was a big deal. And you endured that so that you could share with those people in Romania and Bulgaria, and you don't know what you did. You don't know what you did. But you did that, and out of obedience, and maybe you'll find that out, and maybe you won't find that out. But one thing for sure, I'm not obedient today, I will not have a life to come, nor will others. Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love, Father. Lord, we thank you for your mercies, Father, Lord God. Lord God, I don't know about anybody else. Lord God, help me to be obedient.
Yes.
Help me to be obedient, Father, more and more and more, God. I just want to be more obedient to you, Father. Lord, give me wisdom and guidance, Father, Lord God. Lord, give me understanding, Father, Lord, to be able to hear you clearly, Father, Lord, and be able to move, Father, with you and not move against you, Father, Lord, or move in my own strength or whatever, Father. But, Lord, just to be able to move with you, Father, that I will be that dwelling place, Father, Lord, that dwelling place, and you'll be able to speak to my heart, Father. And I love you and I thank you, Father. Lord, thank you for this word, Father, Lord. Bless this word as it goes out over the internet, Father, Lord God, to people that listen, Father. Lord, just bless them and just touch them, Father. And Lord, we love you and we thank you, Father. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.